If you get to your seat, you can be seated, but you can stand if you need to or want to. But you may be seated. Sing? Tim wants me to sing. I'm testing out a theory. Sometimes they say silence motivates people to like, because they're all like, what's he going to say? And then they all start being quiet. It does not work with children. I know that. Sing, yes. So this morning, we want to take a couple minutes. And I've asked a couple guys to come say a couple things. Just for a couple minutes. We watch videos, which is cool. There's some really cute videos on YouTube for Mother's Day you can go find. You can read some letters. You can find some articles. We can have the kids sing. There's all kinds of different things we can do to honor our mothers. And you should do some of these things today, right? I'm encouraging that. But as a part of this service, I want to do something a little bit differently. Because today, it may not be intentional. It may not be intended. It may not be on purpose, but the message that mothers hear in their head is sometimes that they are not good enough. It's sometimes that they are failures, that they are not doing a good job. Mothers hear this message from society. They see it on Facebook. Maybe from their husbands, whether they mean to or not. And you know what? They hear it from the devil, too. And the church is a place of hope and healing and help. And so I've asked a couple men to come up here and just share some encouragement, maybe to their wife or their mom, but also to you ladies in the church. Because the church is a place where we lift our mothers up. I'm not here to bash anybody or say you're not doing a good enough job or say, hey, look at her, she's doing it better. I'm saying you are awesome. And so I just want to take a couple minutes. First, I want to have Brother Brandon. His wife is teaching class, so Brother Brandon Matt has his new son with him. So Brother Brandon Matt, can you come up and say just a few words?
Praise the Lord. So Pastor Peter asked me to come up and give a talk to the mothers. And being not a mother, it was kind of difficult to think of what to say. So I had to confer to a higher power that is smarter and wiser than I. So I said, hey, honey, what should I say? And so, so this is from her, not from me. No. So society wants to tell women today that you need to be a superhero, that you need to have everything together. You have to have your plate set. You have to have your books together. You have to be making all the money. You have to have your house in order. You have to have your husband all ready. Everything is on you because you're a woman and you have superpowers and you can do anything, which I'm not saying nothing against that. But you know what? Sometimes you don't feel that way. Sometimes you feel like you're not doing a lot or enough. Sometimes you feel like you're falling apart. Sometimes you feel like you're failing. Sometimes you feel like you're on your last end. And you don't feel like a superhero. But that's okay. The book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 tells us that we need to share burdens with one another. We're here in this place to help. Lift each other up. And some days, you may not feel like you're capable of making it. But I'm pretty sure that there's someone in this place that would not mind helping you make it through. You don't have to do everything on your own. It's one of the hardest things that you have to learn, but you're not alone. There are other people here who are more than willing to help and lift you up. The Bible says we're surrounded, right? We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You know, I know that's talking about a lot of the spiritual heritage that the Bible tells us about. But you know what? When you look around this place and you see all the people, young and old, we've all been through different walks of life. You may feel like you're alone, but I'm pretty sure there might be someone here that's gone through the same thing that can help you and help lift you up and help encourage you. And you know what? Bear this burden with you so that when times are tough and you're falling apart, they can be there to lift you up and help you carry you through. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. And the next person I was going to have come up, man I respected as well, like Brother Brandon, is Brother Roberto. Can you come up here, Brother Roberto, and just share what God has on your heart for moms? I appreciate you, man.
Pretty much what I had to say already been said, but I think God is trying to hit on a topic. You know, the family is under attack like never before, and that is, of course, is the mother. And it is no coincidence because the devil knows your worth. He knows his plan involves the mother. So I just want to take a couple minutes to speak on that. You know, I find it interesting in the Bible where it talks about, you know, prominent figures, you know, Samuel, Joseph, John the Baptist, and on. But usually, before they begin to introduce these characters in the Bible, they usually talk about the mother a lot. You know, the Hannahs, you know, the Elizabeths, the Marys, the Sarahs. Why? Why didn't God just skip to the main figures, or so we think? Why didn't God just get to those people? Because he knew without the mother, these men couldn't be who they were. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for mother. Without her prayers, without her reaching out and seeking God on my behalf, and I was acting a fool, you know, I possibly wouldn't be here. So the Lord is trying to say, hey, you do have worth. And just like they pretty much already said, you know, society is trying to beat you down and trying to say you're not worth it. You're not, you know, significant if you don't fit this, that, and the other, or what they say. But the Lord says, no, so. And I want to read this scripture real quick. Praise God. It comes from, praise God, Ruth chapter 4. It says, and all the people that were in the gate and the others said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is coming to your house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build a house of Israel. And do thou worthy in Ephrah and be famous in Bethlehem. In other words, God is saying, you know, you look at Leah and Rachel and Sarah, they had problems. They had issues. You know, look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. She literally called Jesus crazy and tried to stop him from doing his ministry. Has anybody done that, said that about Jesus? Well, you're doing far better than Mary. You know, you look at Leah and Rachel. Oh, man, you go into their life on the jealousy, the bitterness. They let their husband be with another woman out of their dysfunctions. Anybody do that here? Any mothers do that? Well, you're doing far better than Leah and Rachel. Yet he still chose those women. And he said, hey, we look back at those women and say, hey, be like them. You may not be famous in Time magazine, or you may not make Forbes magazine. You may not be on the news tonight, or you may not be on the world standard successful or significant. But God says, hey, you're significant. You're building up Israel. You're building up the church. You're indispensable. You're vital. You're necessary. Don't get it twisted. God is saying, mothers, honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. So I want to do the same thing, and I just want to share that. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Roberto. So, there's a reason. And if you guys know me, I'm just open, okay? I'll tell you a little story about my mom. Growing up, I had a problem. And I'm only bringing this up now. Maybe this is God. Maybe this is just dumb luck. But I had this problem where I'd always forget to unzip my zipper or zip it up, which I just realized I forgot to do. So I'm fixing that right now, okay? And my mom used to tell me, she'd always be like, no, I'm going somewhere with this. Come on now. My mom used to always be like, Peter, you gotta zip your zipper. Well, then I would get embarrassed. Why are you bringing this up in front of, you know, Brother Roberto? You know, don't tell him I need to unzip my zipper. I gotta zip my zipper. Like, all my buddies are watching, you know? And, I'm there, Brian. I reached the low. That's why he's laughing. And so my mom came up with this code, and she would always say, well, you can only keep your zipper down on Wednesdays. I don't know what that was, right? But it was her way to say, hey, Peter, is it Wednesday? And they were like, oh, yeah, I got to zip my zipper. Right? And then if it was Wednesday, I'd be like, it's Wednesday, Mom. She's like, really? Right? And then I'd zip my zipper, right? I was just a little guy at this time. But I remember it for a simple thing. My mom could have taken that moment to embarrass me. She'd go, oh, look at Peter's zipper's down. He's going to, oh, tell all the other ladies. Maybe she wasn't, I didn't know. But she could have done it in front of all my friends. But she found a way to help me learn something that was both fun and it worked. It was effective, right? And it wasn't embarrassing. It wasn't beating down on me. It wasn't making me look bad. And so that's something as I just take a moment, I want to honor my mom and my wife. That's something I really appreciate about my mom. My mom cared. She gave. And she was always thinking about us kids her whole life, even now. Even now I'm trying to like, no, go do something. Like you don't have to do this anymore. You can help out. You can go on vacation. She's like, but I want to be there to help. So my mom just has a great heart like that. And my wife's working this morning. So I'm not getting any credit, and that's okay, because I'm just saying it because she deserves it. I have an amazing wife. I have an amazing wife who's an amazing mom. Thank you. And some of what I'm going to share is just us being open with our family, because that's what I do. And it's not what she does, but she's not here. So, it's easy in the bad moments. And you know what? It's easy to sit here and say, wow, this sounds really bad. We're just talking about bad things. No, we're facing the things we don't want to talk about. It's easy to get up here and just put a bunch of paint on it. I shouldn't say that. We can just put a bunch of lipstick on a pig and say everything's fine. But let's address the things in lives that we need to address. Let's address the fears and the doubts and the worries. Let's address the anxieties and say, that's not what God says. Those moments when you lose your temper and you yell at your child and the devil's in your ear, you're a failure. You're a failure. You yelled at your kid. You've messed them up for the rest of their lives. And now when they end up in prison, it's this yelling. It's your fault. When your children do something horrible, terrible, you're ruining them forever. When you forget to do something important, and you realize it later, the devil's saying, you're stupid. Other moms would have figured that out. They got it all together. You don't have it all together. You forgot that. You forgot that moment. What an idiot. When you're overwhelmed by all your tasks, and I say all your tasks, because in our house, my wife is the director of operations. It's a title. She's currently applying for CEO. She's the hardest working member in our family. But when you feel overwhelmed by all your tasks, whether some of you have jobs, some of you are in parenting, and being a wife, that's a job, man, just so you know. Like, that's hard work. We are idiots sometimes. Okay? That wasn't the devil. That's me saying that to you. Thanks, Brother Claude. And you're trying to juggle all this, and the devil's in your ear saying, you can't handle it. And you're not good enough. When you don't know what to do, the devil tells you once again, you're an idiot. See, you couldn't figure it out. Everybody else is figuring it out. And when you see everybody else's perfect life on Facebook, your brain tells you, well, they've got it all together, and I don't. These are some of the messages just in my home, in my family, and the people I have circles of friendship with that are not going to be named. These are some of the things that are being projected into the lives. And man, you're hearing lies in your heart too, but we're talking about ladies tonight. We're talking about this morning. We're talking about women. These are the things that God, these are things that are going on in your brain that aren't true. Yes, you can have bad days. Yes, we should work to be better at things. I'm all for that. And so you may be about to have kids. Maybe you don't have them now, but you're about to or thinking about have kids, and you're doubting, will I be good enough? You may already have children, and you're currently hearing lies in his head. You may be a mother whose children are up and gone, and you may be in your mind having regret or thinking about the decisions you made or how your children ended up, and you're just feeling this doubt and this fear and this anxiety and this worry about how, guess what? You're not good enough. Look what you did. You failed this child. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't see you in this way. God doesn't see you in this way. God sees you, and I'm going to put it in this way because mothers, you'll understand this. God sees you as his daughter. How do you feel about your daughters? I'm sure your daughters have messed up. They've made mistakes. They've done things. They might have even yelled at their kids. And what is your response to them? You giant failure. Ah. It's love. It's understanding. It's grace. God has given mothers the ability to do these things that men are not naturally good at. We have to work really hard at. Really hard at. Isaiah 49 says, can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Isaiah is essentially saying, moms just love naturally. That's just what they do. God designed them to love. Go through the Bible and look. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And wives, what does it say? Honor your husbands. There's not a whole lot of verse in the Bible where God tells women to love. You know why that is? To love their husbands, their children? Because it just comes naturally. He's designed them to do that. And the devil knows this. Just like Brother Roberto said, he knows your worth. He knows your value. He knows what you can do with that love. And he wants to stop. We get so caught up in listening to the lies in our brains or from the devil that we forget to listen to God's word. Yeah, we come to church and I hear a great message from Brother Seidel or Pastor Roy or Brother Caskey or Brother Phil, and it's like, oh, this is good. This is God's word. But it's not here. In the moment when my laundry is piling up and my kids are acting up and somebody just threw up and there's a dirty diaper everywhere. Yes, I'm speaking my life. Right? And everything's essentially going against you. What does God say about you in that moment? I mean, you still got to change the diaper and clean up the puke and do the laundry, right? That's just, you have to do it. But you don't have to attach the lies that are coming with those situations. There's a song on the Christian radio by Lauren Daigle that says, You Say. You've heard it. I'm sure you've all heard it. It's all over the place. And the lyrics say, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And you say I belong when you say I belong when I say I am yours. Or when I don't belong, you say I am yours. Mothers, if I can encourage you one thing today, I want to tell you that God loves you. But me saying it isn't going to help you. Okay? Just so you know, I'm just going to be real with you. Not going to help you. Me telling you God's grace is sufficient for you and that you can cast all your cares upon him and nothing can separate you from the love of God. All these things, we are more than conquerors. Who can have the power to separate us? Cast all your cares on him. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. I can tell you all these things, but it doesn't make a difference. The best way to fight this, those moments, is just what these two men said and taking God's word and putting it in your heart every day. I want to encourage you. Find verses. When you start feeling like you don't belong, find a verse that says you do belong. When you start feeling you're not loved, find a verse that says you are loved. And you write that on a card and you staple that to your mirror. You tape that to your sink. You tape it to your laundry machine. Wherever you need to remember about love and grace and belonging and acceptance, that's where you do it. And you don't just read it. You go to God and say, God, this is what you said. I'm accepting that promise today. I'm accepting that. I've been rejecting the lies from this world. I'm rejecting the lies from that I see on Facebook. And I'm accepting that promise. But then the next step of that is, you got to do the same thing. Don't go judging other ladies, right? Doesn't work that way. Men, we do that with men. Oh, yeah, I'm good for Brother Pastor Roy. You know, he does. No, it doesn't work. And if I can just take a minute on Mother's Day and speak to men. Men, husbands, fathers, don't perpetuate these lies. Don't perpetuate these lies. Don't add to them. The Bible says we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I just went through verse after verse after verse, and these two guys went through verse after verse of how Christ feels about you. If that's how Christ feels about a woman, a mom, and you are supposed to be like Christ to your wife, sorry, ladies, I'm just preaching to the men here for just a minute, then you need to be like that to them. When the laundry's not done, you don't walk in there and say, well, see, the laundry didn't get done today again. Didn't get my favorite pair of underwear for work tomorrow. You know, I got that meeting, right? Come on, it sounded funny, but that's not the message they hear. I can come in and say it jokingly, men, and say, oh, man, wow, yeah, it's kind of a mess, but oh, no, I love you. But that's not the message my wife hears. My wife hears, you giant failure. You couldn't figure out the laundry, and you forgot those are my favorite underwear? Don't perpetuate it, men. Let's be Christ to our wives. Let's encourage them. Let's love them. Let's support them. So, I guess, in closing, ladies, you're awesome. Moms, you're so awesome. I'm not a mom. I think there's a pattern. I don't know if I didn't get the memo from the pastoral memo, but apparently you're supposed to come up here and mention Brother Irv Manley in all of your sermons. For this month, I think it's Brother Irv Manley month. But it was there's like four of us that have done it now. But he made a comment. Him and I used to stand in the back before I had kids, and I think we were just getting pregnant. I don't remember how it worked. And Brother Manley goes, you know, if men were the ones that were supposed to have kids, there wouldn't be any humanity. It would have died years ago. And I always think about that, and I appreciate it. So appreciate what moms. So I don't know. I don't know every single thing you do. I do know that you're valued, you're loved. And you know why that you saw more men up here than you do other Mother's Day, where we have all ladies? Because men, as much as God feels that way, and we should be acting that way towards our wives, as a church, we want to show that. Men, we want to honor. Men, we're honoring our wives and moms. I encourage you to do that today. So mothers, have a happy Mother's Day. Receive God's truth in your heart today and every day going forward. And Brother Roy, you can come up and give a message here. Praise God.
Well, it's kind of amazing, the thought vein of all of our men today, because you're going to probably think that I'm copying after Peter. We never discussed this. Maybe we should have, but I just want to talk for a few minutes on the topic. I am not condemned. And I sat down with Brother Peter a few months ago. We went to Cuco's restaurant and started talking about this service and how we want to honor our mothers. And he had some ideas in which we had did. We had a few traditions. We had the flowers. We added some cupcakes to that. And so Mother's Day is a special day, and it's very different from any other day that we celebrate. You see, Mother's Day is not like Christmas. We don't celebrate Mother's Day the same we celebrate Christmas. We have Easter, but Easter is much different than Mother's Day. We have Pentecost Sunday coming up, but we celebrate Mother's Day much differently. We look at mothers in the Bible, and reference has been made about Hannah, Sarah, Mary, the New Testament, the Lady Dorcas, which was a very prominent woman in the New Testament. All of the sorts of scriptures are used. And I'm thankful for all of those examples that we have. But I'm going to kind of swing a little bit different on this morning, and I want to go to Romans 8:1. It's probably not a Mother's Day message or a Mother's Day passage of Scripture. I just want to read a portion. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I just want to challenge our mothers here today that, moms, you are in Christ Jesus. And there's absolutely no reason for any of our moms here today to feel condemned. You see, you stand in righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you're loved by Him as His child and as His daughter. Why? It's because He went to the cross for each and every one of you. So I just want to, again, encourage and challenge as you sit here today, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ. You see, so many of you probably got up today, and I'm going to guess that most of your households, you were hurrying to get to church. You see, you don't have to feel condemned because it's Mother's Day. You left to come to church, and you probably left behind a dirty house. It's Mother's Day. We don't care. You see, moms, during the week, your children running rampant at times, you're not condemned because your house is lived in. Sometimes I walk through the church and I look at all of the stuff that's scattered everywhere and I don't feel bad about it, because there's nothing like a lived-in house. You look at some houses, your house doesn't have to look like good housekeeping. Moms, you're not condemned because all your kids are different. We have three boys in our family, and every one of us boys were different. And a lot of mothers sometimes struggle because your kids are different, and you look at your kids differently because they are different. And you don't have to struggle with that. You love them all, you just love them differently because they're different. You're not condemned because you cannot deal, perhaps, with your kids staying at home like other mothers, and they homeschool, and you just don't have the ability to be able to homeschool your own children. And I know we have a lot of families here and mothers that homeschool. But just because you don't have the ability or you can't do that, you don't have to feel condemned because of that. You're not condemned because perhaps you're not the best cook. Anyone here have normal kids? Sister Kitty Rossing, no. We need to talk. Because I've seen some, well, what do you define as normal? Let's just back up a little bit. You see, if your kids don't fall into everyone else's bracket of normality, that doesn't mean your kids are wrong or you're wrong. Because kids are kids, and we don't always all fit in to the same little bracket of normality. Here's a big one for you moms. This next week is Ladies Retreat. And you don't have to feel condemned because you're looking so very forward and you've been so excited for months and months from being away for a few days from your children and from your husband. Just go have fun. The house isn't going to burn down, hopefully. I remember when we were growing up, my mom was in the hospital with appendicitis. She had her appendix removed. And my dad was going to attempt to make dinner. Now, my dad's barbecued chicken. He's grilled steaks. But for some reason, he had a hankering for chicken and dumplings. And you remember those old pressure cookers? So he put the chicken in and pressure cooked the chicken, and everything looked fine. And then you put the dumplings in there. I don't know exactly what happened, and this is just how my memory serves me. So if my dad disagrees with this afterwards, it's just because his memory probably is older than my memory. And it's my brother John is here today, and he probably remembers this well too. So I'm not saying Bishop would change the story, but nevertheless, I'm just... During that week, if you remember, Dad, you bought us all those airplanes of balsa wood and paper, and you build these airplanes. And we were all, man, we had the whole house turned into an airplane building shop. We were building these in the, we were in the living room working away, and the biscuits is in the crock pot or in the pressure cooker, and he's making the biscuits. Well, the problem with it is there's that little hole in the top of that pressure cooker, and it's got that little thing that sits on it. And those biscuits, as they begin to cook inside that pressure cooker, something happened. And we heard a loud boom sound, and we go running in, and we had biscuits all over the kitchen. I don't know if he remembers that or not, but we were laughing, trying to clean up the mess. We did end up having pizza for dinner that night. We got all the biscuit removed and such, so when Mom got home, the house was clean. But just because moms, perhaps you leave a messy house, don't sweat it. You're not condemned for that. I don't know how many of you moms look the same as you did the day you were married. I don't even want to go there. Not with my wife, but with myself. We were laughing about this because I think when we were married, my wife weighed 118 and I weighed 120. You can believe that. And I don't weigh 120 anymore, and she's really close to 118 still. Hey, listen, I know where my bread's buttered. I'm not going there. But just because you don't look like you looked perhaps before you had your 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 children, and that figure's a distant memory in life's rearview mirror, you don't have to feel condemned over that. Peter mentioned this. You're not condemned, even though sometimes you feel like it, when you read over and over and over about another sister in the church as she's sharing on Facebook the perfect parenting moments. Here's a big one for some of our moms. Just because all your kids aren't presently serving God doesn't mean that you failed as a mom. You see, we children, we make our own choices, and we have to live by them. And you don't have to feel condemned because of our choices. I know there are some moms that we've been invited to 1 month birthday parties, 3 month birthday parties, 6 month birthday parties, a 1 year birthday party. And the kid's a year old and they've had 4 birthday parties already. Listen, just because you don't feel the necessity to have quarterly birthday parties for your children as they grow older doesn't mean that you have to feel condemned because of that. You see, you don't have to be condemned because you can't take your children to the Dells for every birthday. And even though your children may whine and complain and because somebody got to do it, it doesn't make you a bad mom or a bad parent. I've just found out some things in life I just can't afford. And just because you can't afford it doesn't mean that you should feel condemned for that. You don't have to feel condemned, moms, because you cannot grow or feed your kids organic homemade meals grown from your own garden every time they eat. I know some of you enjoy doing that. I enjoy gardening. Most of it's organic. I don't fertilize anything, and I don't weed anything, typically, because I get tired of it. So I grow things in pots. I figured that out. If I want some peppers, I'll get a big pot, and I'll put a couple pepper plants in it. Same thing with tomatoes. I like to make salsa. Listen, just because you're not feeding your children by things you grew in your own garden doesn't mean that you have to feel condemned for that. And it's okay from time to time if you go to Costco or you go to Woodman's or Piggly Wiggly and buy food that's just regular food, or it's okay every now and then if your kids want to go to McDonald's or Culver's once in a while. It's really probably not going to kill them. Here's a really big one for a lot of our mothers. Just because your mother-in-law is perfect. Some mother-in-laws just have a way of reminding you that they're perfect. Very thankful for my mother. I don't think my mother's ever made my wife feel inferior because of she had to work. Had to have daycare for our daughter. I thank you for that, Mom. Now, if your great-grandmother now, and situation's very similar with my daughter, working full-time, and I just thank my mom for not ever making my daughter or my wife feel less of a mom because she was a stay-at-home mom and they have to work. You don't have to feel condemned because you're at the grocery store and your children erupt into a volcanic-sized screaming fit. And as you stand there and look at them wondering, what in the world do I do? Everyone around you is looking at them and wondering, what are you going to do? You don't have to feel condemned by the stares of those other people. Just go about your business, pay for your groceries, and just walk out of the store. Because all of those people that are staring at you, they're probably older people, and they've probably been there. They just have forgotten those moments. You don't have to be condemned because your kids are stubborn at times. Any of you have stubborn children? You know where they get that from, don't you? Their grandparents. It's Mother's Day. I can't say moms. They get it from their dads, right? You know, kids can be rebellious. You don't have to feel condemned because your children at times are rebellious. They have to learn just like we learned. You're not condemned because at times you feel hopelessly lost in a sea of diapers, macaroni and cheese on the floor. School homework is undone, and the husband who will be home in 30 minutes, and he's expecting dinner on the table, and between the table and the door, every Lego in the house is laying on the floor. You don't have to feel condemned, moms, because your day didn't go quite as planned. And to you fathers out there, if the meal's not on the table at 5 o'clock, you're not going to die of starvation. You don't have to feel condemned because your prayer and study time might be different from so many other mothers because of how your household is. You don't have to feel condemned because you struggle in ministry because of the schedule. You see, moms, even though at times we may feel condemned or you may feel condemned, you see, if you're a new creature in Christ, your condemnation is replaced by righteousness. So I just want you to go home today, back to your messy house, with the Legos on the floor and breakfast dishes still in the sink, macaroni and cheese hardened on the baby chair. What do they call those now? Those high chairs. We got one at our house. My wife uses it, and I use it just to stack stuff on now. But if you have a little one and you come over, we'll have a high chair for you. So go home. Don't worry about all of the mess. Sit down on that old couch. Kick up your feet. Take a big sigh of relief and say that I am a new creature in Christ. I'm not alone, and I'm not condemned. Because, you see, this is the reality. in which so many of our mothers live in. I want you to tell yourself this morning that I want to go forward in freedom with an unending affection of being a daughter of Jesus Christ who loves me perfectly. And that perfect, unwavering love that flows straight from my Father who lives in heaven. Moms, we love you. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for being such a part of our lives. So I want all of our moms to stand. If they would do that. We're going to do something. I just really feel we need to, the world we live in, especially the way that things are changing in our political scope across our country. There's a whole different definition of moms being written today. And the moms that are our Christian mothers that don't fit in all the time because you feel abortion is wrong doesn't make you less or worse of a mom by the world's standards. So many different and crazy things are happening around us and our moms. Our fathers, we'll discuss this on Father's Day. Our fathers are facing a great challenge today, but our mothers are facing, I believe, in ways even a greater challenge to be a good, solid Christian mother. So what I want to do is I want all of our moms to just come up to the front, if our moms could do that. Just line up across the front here. Our grandmothers, maybe perhaps you're not a mom, but you serve in a position. Maybe you take care of children that aren't yours, but you're a mom figure. I want you to come up too. I want my Aunt Jan to come up here because she's been a mom to so many of us. And I know I want Sister Puckett to come up here. Let's get her right down at the front with some of our, just open up a path here. So ladies, if we can just kind of move, fill in some of this void, because what we're going to do next is we're going to have all the men and those that are remaining in the congregation. We have some single young ladies here, just got married. They're not moms yet, but I just want you to all stand and just kind of wait, make our way, fill in between the pews and all of that. That's fine. I just want to encourage all of our Sister Janet, are you able to come up here this morning? Can you not get up here? You need some help? Can we get some help? Some of you men go back there and help Sister Janet up here. She needs to sit down. Bring her up here. I want all of our moms to be a part of this. What we're going to have is we're going to have Bishop pray for our moms this morning. And as Bishop prays, I want us as dads to just raise our hands, put our hands over our moms, reach them forward, and let's just begin to take and pray as Bishop prays for our mothers.
I just want to say one thing before I pray. Every morning, I spend a good time in prayer. And one thing I do My mom and dad both have gone on. But I thank the Lord for my mom every day for the instruction she gave me, and it wasn't always good to me. But I found out later on it was good. So if you have a parent that's gone on, make sure that you recognize what they have done for you. Let's pray now. And God, we pray for our mothers who are here. I ask, God, that your Holy Spirit come. Overshadow them, Lord, that they may be protected by the Holy Spirit. Fill their homes with your glory. Show favor to them, Lord. Give them wisdom. For the Bible declares, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally. And I pray, Lord Jesus, move upon these mothers as they tackle the most difficult task, and that is training a child in the way he should go. And oh Lord, let them never lose heart, but let them always do the right thing, regardless of what they see as maybe a bad consequence later on. For right always overcomes might. So give them the courage to do what is right always. And I pray, God, that you give them a great day today with their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. I want to give our moms, if any of our moms need special prayer, I just want the moms to just maybe just touch the sister next to you. Lay your hand upon her shoulder. And husbands, men, let's just continue to pray. And let's just pray once again as our mothers pray once for. Lord, I thank you for each and every mom here today. I pray, God, as our moms lay hands upon one another, Lord, they don't have to feel condemned because they don't measure up the way they feel they need to measure up. I thank you, Lord, for the ladies here at Calvary Gospel Church and the impact that they have on this congregation. I pray, God, you would strengthen them, that you would unite them, that you would be with them, lead them, and guide them. Lord, any frustration, any pain that they're dealing with today, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just remove that from their life. God, we're not perfect and we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to have a perfect marriage. We're never going to have a perfect home. Our children aren't perfect. Our meals aren't perfect. Our house isn't perfect. But God, with you involved in it, every aspect of our lives, God, we could go forward in freedom, knowing that we are a daughter of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And moms, just take and hug one another. Tell each other you're so thankful. Shake hands, men. Find your wives, give them a big hug if they're in here. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Make sure you take your mom, your wife. Maybe you can't afford to go out for dinner, but go home. If you can't cook, give them the best bowl of cereal you can give them.
God bless you all. Thank you for coming out on this Mother's Day. And again, there's no service tonight. Give you time as families to spend time with both sides of your families. God bless you, moms. We love you. Have a very blessed day. And moms, don't forget your flowers, those of you that have flowers down front here.